وبه نستعين وهو خير الموفق المعين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمها الفداء، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Initially, I was thinking about continuing the topic that started a few nights ago about family matters and community matters, but that would need two or three nights to complete. So, as that was the last night, I thought it would be appropriate to consider three questions in relation to Imam Hussein and the tragedy of Karbala, inshallah. So please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The first question that you may have noticed, if you have in fact read the riwayat about the status of Imam Hussein, his ziyarat, is that although on the one hand we believe that all the Ahlul Bayt are at the same level, كلهم نور واحد, they are all embodiments of that first emanation, yet a certain pride of place is given to Imam Hussein. We read in our riwayat that all the prophets of all time, starting from Hazrat Adam all the way down to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
have in some way mourned for Imam Hussein, have shed tears for Imam Hussein, have remembered Imam Hussein. And the grief that resonated with the entire world in consequence of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein is something that is not as strong or is not emphasized as much in relation to the other Imams. Why is this such? This is the first question I will continue. To begin this, the answer to this question, I would like to read to you a riwayat that emphasizes the fact that Imam Hussein has a very, very unique place. A very beautiful riwayat, a very heartbreaking riwayat. It is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. عن أبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام قال كان النبي في بيت أم سلمة. The prophet was in the house of Umm Salama. فقال لها لا يدخل علي أحد. The prophet told Umm Salama, please, I want to rest. I don't want anyone interrupting me. فجاء الحسين وهو طفل. Hussein entered. He was a baby. فما ملكت معه شيئا. She wasn't able to control Imam Hussein. She wasn't able to prevail over Imam Hussein. حتى دخل على النبي. Imam Hussein went to the Prophet. فدخلت أم سلمة على أثره فأذى الحسين على صدره. أم سلمة followed Imam Hussein. When she entered the room of the Prophet, Imam Hussein was on the chest of the Prophet. وَأَذَى النَّبِيَّ يَبْكِي, and the Prophet was crying. وَأَذَى فِي يَدِهِ شَيْءٌ يُغَلِّبُ. وَأَذَى فِي يَدِهِ شَيْءٌ يُغَلِّبُ. The Prophet was crying, Imam Hussein was on his chest. And there was something in his hand that he was moving around. فقال النبي أم سلمة إن هذا جبرائيل يخبرني أن هذا مقتول. The Prophet said, O Umm Salama, here is Jibreel. Jibreel is present here. He has just informed me that Imam Hussein will be martyred. وَهَذِهِ التُّرْبَةِ What I'm holding in my hand is the Torba of Imam Hussein, the Torba of Karbala, where he will be martyred. وَهَذِهِ التُّرْبَةُ الَّتِي يُقْتَلُ عَلَيْهَا فَدَعِيهِ عِنْدَكِ Get this Torba from me and keep it with you. فَإِذَا صَارَتْ دَمًا فَقَدْ قُتْلَ حَبِيبِي In later years, when you see this turba become bloody, become red, become bloody, you would know that Imam Hussein has been martyred. فَقَدْ قُتْلَ حَبِيبِي فَقَالَتْ أُمُّ سَلَمَةَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سَلِ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَدْفَعَ ذَلِكَ عَنَهُ Umm Salama said, O Prophet, ask God to change the fate of Imam Hussein, to change this fate. قَالَ قَدْ فَعَلْتُ فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ The Prophet said, I actually asked God to change the fate, but God answered, إِنَّ لَهُ دَرَجَةً لَا يَنَالُهَا أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ إِنَّ لِلْحُسَيْنِ دَرَجَةً لَا يَنَالُهَا أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ Imam Hussein has such a status that no other creature or being is able to match. أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ That includes the Imams. None of the Imams even is at the status of Imam Hussein. وأن له شيعة يشفعون فيشفعون And his Shias, the Shias of Imam Hussein have the capacity, have the capability to do Shafa'ah. Not just Imam Hussein, his Shias, those who follow him, do Shafa'ah. وأن المهدي من ولده وأن المهدي من ولده فطوبى لمن كان من أولياء من حسين وَشِيَعَتُهُ هُمْ وَالظَّاهِرِ الْفَازُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ So according to this rawayat and according to other rawayat, Imam Hussein has a unique place such that no other Imam even is comparable to Imam Hussein. Yet there are other rawayat, interestingly, this is where the paradox appears. There are other rawayat, in addition to the initial paradox that I mentioned, where we believe that all the Imams are at the same level, كلهم من واحد, but there are rawayat that say أمير المؤمنين is the best of all the Ahlul Bayt. This rawayat from Imam Sadiq again, عن أبي عبد الله عليه السلام. قال بين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله في منزل فاطمة والحسين في حجره. This time the Prophet is in the house of Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein is in the embrace of the Prophet. والحسين في حجره إذ بكى وخر ساجدا. The Prophet all of a sudden started crying and then he fell in prostration. ثم قال يا فاطمة يا بنت محمد إن العلي الأعلى ترى آلي في بيتك. God just appeared to me in this house. إن العلي الأعلى ترى آلي في بيتك هذا صارتي هذه في أحسن صورة God appeared to me in the most beautiful form, in the most beautiful manner. What this means is also very interesting. How is it that the Prophet says that God just appeared to me? What does that mean? وقال لي يا محمد. God told me, O Muhammad, أتحب الحسين؟ O Muhammad, do you love Imam Hussein? فقلت نعم قرة عيني وريحانتي وثمرة فؤادي وجلدة ما بين عيني. Yes, I love him. He is the dearest person to me. He is the fruit of my heart. He is my love. فقال لي يا محمد ووضع يده على رأس الحسين. The Prophet said, O Muhammad, and then God put his hand on the head of Imam Hussein.
بورك من مولود عليه بركاتي وصلواتي ورحمتي ورضواني ولعنتي وسخطي وعذابي وخزي ونكاري على من قتله وناصبه وناواه ونازعه.
This is a very blessed child. Upon him is my blessings. I am pleased with him. And upon his enemies is my curse.
أما إنه سيد الشهداء من الأولين والآخرين في الدنيا والآخرة.
He is the master of all martyrs. So when we call Imam Hussein Sayyid al-Shuhada, this is a title given to Imam Hussein by God himself. He is Sayyid al-Shuhada. Shuhada includes the Ahlul Bayt as well. He is greater than the Shuhada of the Ahlul Bayt. He is greater than Amir al-Mu'mineen.
Wa Sayyid al-Shabab Ahlul Jannah min al-Khalq ajma'in.
But then it says, وَأَبُوهُ أَفْضَلْ مِنْهَ وَأَبُوهُ أَفْضَلْ مِنْهَ. Imam Ali is even greater than him. He is Sayyid al-Shuhada, but Imam Ali is greater than him.
Paradox.
فَأَغْرِقْهُ السَّلَامُ. And God tells the Prophet to relay his salams to Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then, before I continue, just a couple lines. What is an additionally interesting thing about this riwayat is that the urafa, particularly Ayatollah Pahlavani, rahmatullahi, I'm talking about Pahlavani being one of the great students of Allama Tabatabai, passed away a few years ago. His younger brother is still alive in Tehran. He's also a very great mystic. Ayatollah Pahlavani says that actually God appeared to the Prophet when the Prophet says, this is God that has just appeared to me. And God, when Prophet tells us to Hazrat Fatima, what is actually happening is God is appearing in the form of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein is the appearance, the tajalli of God, through which God talks to Amir al-Mu'mineen. But that's a topic for another discussion. All right, so on the one hand, we believe that all the Ahlul Bayt are on the same par. On the other hand, we have Rawayat, that's the one I read to you, that say that Imam Hussein is the best of all makhlukin. We have Rawayat that say Imam Hussein is Sayyid al-Shuhada. But then we have Rawayat that say Imam al-Mu'min is Afadad. There's another riwayat, an interesting riwayat, that stresses and emphasizes the fact that Amir al-Mu'min was the greatest of all Imams. Again, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Yunus ibn Abi Wahab says, I went to Imam Sadiq, قال دخلت المدينة فأتيت أبا عبد الله
فقلت جعلت فدار أتيتك ولم أزر أمير المؤمنين.
I have come to you, I've been on a trip, I've been traveling, but I did not do ziyarat of Amir al-Mu'mineen when I was passing through Kufa. Or when I was coming from Kufa, I did not do ziyarat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. I don't know exactly what the circumstances were, but the fact is he's telling Imam Sadiq that I had the chance to do ziyarat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, but I did not.
فقلت جعلت فداك أتيتك ولم أزر أمير المؤمنين. قال بئس ما صنعت.
What a bad thing you did.
لولا أنك من شيعتنا ما نظرت إليك.
If you weren't one of our Shias, this negligence that you did, that you did not, that you failed to do ziyarat of Amir al-Mu'mineen on your way here, it was so grave that I wouldn't have spoken to you if you weren't a Shia.
So this is a actually for this person, Yunus ibn Abi Wahab,
Imam Sadiq telling him that you are a Shia, that's for him one of the greatest blessings that he could have in his life.
So anyway, Imam Sadiq tells him that this was a great sin. A great sin that you did, that you failed to do
ziyarah.
Why did you fail to do ziyarah of someone whom God does ziyarah to? Whom God goes and visits. وَيَزُورُهُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ All the prophets visit him, do ziyarah. وَيَزُورُهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قُلْتُ جُعِلْتُ فِدَاكَ مَا عَلَمْتُ ذَلِكَ
I'm sorry, Imam Sadiq, I didn't know.
قَالَ اِعْلَمْ إِنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَفْضَلْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْأَئِمَّةِ
Indeed, Amir al-Mu'mineen is, in the eyes of God, the greatest of the Imams.
إن أمير المؤمنين أفضل عند الله من الأئمة كلهم وله ثواب أعمالهم وعلى قدر أعمالهم فضلوا.
He is the greatest. So how do we reconcile these paradoxical facts that we have?
The solution to this is based on the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt. There is a difference between the spiritual and existential level of the Imams on the one hand, and their capacity and their function as vehicles of divine mercy, conveying divine mercy to the world and to humankind. There's a difference between these two. The degree of an Imam's scope in acting and serving as a conveyor, as a vehicle of divine mercy, is contingent, is dependent on the extent to which he is able to implement and embody that maqam nuraniya that I've talked about before. That luminous station of the Ahlul Bayt, أول ما خلق الله نور محمد. The extent to which an Imam is capable of implementing of, what would be a better word, of exercising that maqami nuraniya in this world, that determines the scope of his capacity in serving and functioning as the vehicle of divine mercy and bringing all people to God. Whereas the level of spirituality of an imam, the existential loftiness of an imam, is determined by his comprehension of the maqam al-nuraniyat. So there's a difference. One is the comprehension of the maqam al-nuraniyat, and the other is to what extent the imam is able, due to the circumstances of his time, to implement that maqam al-nuraniyat in this world. Now, based on the riwayah that we have, Amir al-Mu'mineen was the nafs of the Prophet, according to the ayah of Muwahila, in his comprehension of that maqam al-nuraniyat was at the highest level possible. And that's why he is the greatest of all. His existential level is above all other imams. But the fact is that no other imam had the opportunity to carry out, to implement that maqam al-nuraniyat in this world as did Imam Hussein. All the sacrifices they did, all the sufferings that he went through, all the afflictions that he went through, all the tribulations, it was something that no other imam had the opportunity of doing. If any other imam was in place of Imam Hussein, he would have the same position. It's not a matter, so there, so in their essence and substance, they're one thing, except for Imam Ali, which is above all. Imam Ali and the Prophet above all. The other Imams, in their essence, they're one, they're the same, they're identical. But because of the time, the circumstances of Imam Hussein's time, he had that opportunity. It wasn't a matter of irada, it wasn't a matter of volition, though. God had determined that at that time, and the historical circumstances had progressed in a way that at that time, Imam Hussein, as the Viceroy of God, as the Khalifatullah, had the opportunity to implement that maqam al-nuraniyat in the strongest, most effective way possible in this world. Consider two persons, two individuals, that both of them have the same degree of bravery. They're both really brave. Yet one of them lives in a peaceful village somewhere away from all wars, all battles. Okay. He never has the opportunity to exercise that bravery. Whereas another person with the same degree of bravery lives in a place where there's war going on. Obviously, he exercises his bravery, he becomes famous, he becomes popular. He acquires a status that distinguishes him from everyone else. Both persons are at the same level in terms of their bravery. One has the opportunity to implement it, the other one does not. This is the difference between Imam Hussein and the other imams. It's sort of another analogy, if to bring this point home. It's sort of like the difference between ni'am al-batiniyah and ni'am al-zahiriyah. Between the esoteric blessings and bounties of God and the exoteric, the zahiri blessings and bounties of God.
The blessings and the bounties that are contingent on our actions, they're either spiritual. The blessings of the hereafter I'm talking about, they're not the blessings of this world. The blessings that we receive in the hereafter are of two types. They're either spiritual and esoteric blessings, or they're material, physical, and exoteric blessings. You've all read this verse from the Quran, verse 72, Surah Tawbah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وعد الله المؤمنين والمؤمنات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ومساكن طيبة في جنات عدن ورضوان من الله أكبر ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. God has promised the believers, the believing men, and the believing women, blessings in paradise, streams running under their abode, and pleasant houses. Yet, Vav here is most likely, according to the commentators of the Quran, the Waw here, what is one? It's called Waw Istinafiyya. Yet, to translate it in English, yet the pleasure and satisfaction of God is greater. وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. So there we have these exoteric blessings in paradise, these zahiri blessings in paradise, the carnal blessings in paradise, the huris, and all the various blessings that we receive in the hereafter. But on the other hand, رِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. It is the one of God, the satisfaction of God. What level of bliss is that? It's expressed in very ambiguous terms in this riwayat. What is one? It's nekara for those who know Arabic grammar. What is one? In other words, it's shrouded in ambiguity. God cannot explain what that dhuwan is. You have to get there. We have to get there to experience and understand what that dhuwan is. That's not something. The exoteric and carnal bounties, they have an analogous form in this world, so they can be explained. But that ridwan min Allah, that spiritual blessing, has no analog in this world. And so it's expressed in very ambiguous terms. Ridwan min Allah akbar. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This ridwan, this spiritual blessing, is the great felicity. So there are certain, you might have read the riwayat. There's a lot of these riwayat in Arabic. Like if you open up Mafatih al-Janan, yeah, different amal of different months. There are rawayat that say, for instance, if you do this action, it is as though you have been to 1,000 hajj. I'm sure you've read a rawayat like that. When it says it's as though you've been to 1,000 hajj, it means that the exoteric blessings that one acquires through going to hajj, we can acquire 1,000 times that amount by doing this action. But that spiritual change, that spiritual blessing, that spiritual perfection that can come through Hajj and Hajj alone, is not something that you can achieve or acquire through anything else. The exoteric blessings are contingent on
the amount of actions we do in this world. The quantity, if you will. The esoteric is contingent on the quality of action that we do in this world. Consider two persons. One is wealthy and well off, and he is able to give a lot of sadaqah. He's able to go to Hajj a lot, to go to Ziyarah a lot. And so so he accumulates all these, and he's a good person, he's not doing it for riya. So he accumulates all these delicious, very pleasing, exoteric blessings in the hereafter. But another person who doesn't have the means to do all these mustahabat, to do all these good things, but he's a person that is on the way of spiritual wayfaring, on the way of Sayyidul Suluk. He moves beyond the exoteric blessings. He achieves to this status, he attains to the status where he experiences and tastes the Ridwan of God. And there are different riwayat that talk about what this Ridwan is. I have one more here, but since I want to try to finish all these three questions out, I want to read here. The same way with the maqam of the Ahlul Bayt. The existential and spiritual level of the Imam is not determined by the scope and extent of his ability to, or the scope and extent to which he is able to implement the Naqam al-Nuraniyat. It is contingent on the level and degree of his comprehension of the Naqam al-Nuraniyat, of the luminous state, of his comprehension of the first emanation, inshallah. You remember I talked about this a few nights ago. But the scope and extent of an imam's function in serving as the vehicle of divine mercy to humankind is dependent and contingent on how much, to what extent he is able to implement the Naqam al-Nuraniyat in this world. And it is for this reason. It is for this reason that Imam Hussein has the greatest scope of shafar. He is the most inclusive of all the Imams in captivating and drawing in humankind to divine mercy. Because of the extent to which he was able to implement that Naqam al-Nuraniyat in this world. But Imam Ali, on the other hand, Imam Ali is the patron of the elite. He is the patron of the elite. The Urafa, if you've noticed, the great spiritual masters, they go to Imam Ali usually. They go to Imam Ali. In fact, Ayatollah Khushvat, rahmatullah alayhi, he didn't say this himself, but I heard this from his students, that he received his spiritual gift from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He had a vision in which he saw Amir al-Mu'mineen not in his sleep, but in his awakening, in his waking hours. He had a vision of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen came to him, gave him a bowl of honey. Actually, Amir al-Mu'mineen himself stuck his finger in the bowl of honey and stuck his finger in Atlaq al-Shafah. And Atlaq al-Shafah had that honey. And he said, after tasting that honey, from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, I felt sweetness. My entire existence became sweet. So Imam Hussein has the vastest safina, the vastest reach in bringing in humanity to divine mercy. But Imam Ali has the strongest. He gives favor only to special people, only to the elite of Mu'mineen, to the elite of the spiritual people. And this explains the seeming discrepancy between the riwayat that we have. On the one hand, we have riwayat that say Imam Hussein has a station that no other Imam enjoys. On the other hand, we have riwayat that say Amir al-Mu'mineen is the greatest person. This is the explanation. This difference between the two functions is, explains why it is that we have the seeming discrepancy between our world. Please recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Should I start the second question? Right. Please recite another salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The second question concerning Imam Hussein and the tragedy of Karbala concerns this phenomenon that, again, I'm sure you have heard about and you've read about and you know, that when Imam Hussein was slain, the skies turned dark, we are told, and blood oozed out of all rocks. Every rock that was picked up on that day, there was blood underneath it. And in fact, we are told, I haven't seen this myself. I haven't seen it myself. But we are told that the true turba of Imam Hussein, the turba that is very, very near the body of Imam Hussein, that is from the original time, when the event happened. On the day of Ashura, it turns red. I have heard this. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it myself. But this is what I've heard. So what is this? Is this figurative language? Is this a sort of metaphor that the Imam was going to emphasize the severity, the gravity of what happened? And so just in the same way that in regular poets and their poetry, they use sometimes these figures of speech to emphasize or stress something. The Imams are doing the same thing. Is that the case? Let me read you one of Wyatt. So we know what we're talking about. Imam Sadr alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Says, مَا قُتِلَ قَبْلَهُ أَحَدٌ تَبْكِيهِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْوَحْشُ وَالْحِيتَانُ فِي الْبِحَارِ وَالْجِبَالِ. There is no one before Imam Hussein, obviously no one after Imam Hussein, for whom the skies and the earth and the angels and all the animals and all the fish in the sea and all the mountains cried. Now, this is most true of Imam Hussein, but it also applies to the other Imams as well. It applies to other people. The strongest instance of this was for Imam Hussein, but this happened in relation to other Imams as well, according to what Ardawala tells us. There's this very interesting dua. It's a little long, but I would like to read to you because it sheds light, in addition to this point that I want to draw out of it, it sheds light on our understanding of the Ahlul Bayt and the times and the experiences that Ahlul Bayt went through. Because I mentioned the topic of Taghiyya some nights ago. And one of the brothers had trouble understanding or digesting the fact that the Ahlul Bayt actually exercised taqiyya to the degree that they did. So let me read you the riwayah. Abu Basir, there are, to the best of my knowledge, two companions of Imam Sadiq that are called Abu Basir, but both of them are credible persons. عن أبي بصير عن أبي عبد الله عليه السلام إمام صادق عليه الصلاة والسلام قال إمام صادق says بعث هشام بن عبد الملك إلى أبي فأشخصه إلى الشام. هشام بن عبد الملك, the Marwani Khalifa of the time, asked my father Imam Baqir to go to Sham. أشخصه إلى الشام. أشخصه إلى الشام, أذهبه إلى الشام. فلما دخل عليه قال له يا أبا جعفر أشخصناك لنسألك عن مسألة لم يصلح أن يسألك عنها غيري. When he arrived, Hisham told, addressed the Imam and said to him, I have called you here. Please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad.
I have called you here to ask you about a question that no one other than myself should ask you this question. In other words, if anyone else asks you this question, you're not allowed to answer. Only I have the right to ask you this question.
فلما دخل علي قال يا أبا جعفر أشخصناك لنسألك عن مسألة لم يصلح أن يسألك عنها غيري ولا أعلم في الأرض خلقا ينبغي أن يعرف أو عرف هذه المسألة إن كان إلا واحد.
There is only one person that can answer me. If there is anyone that can answer me, that one person is you.
فقال أبي ليسألني أمير المؤمنين عما أحب. ليسألني أمير المؤمنين عما أحب.
Imam Baqir addresses Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik as Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's how difficult. Imam Baqir is in a position. The times are so difficult that for the preservation of faith, for the preservation of the community of the Shia, not for his own life, is compelled to call Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, to refer to Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik as Amir al-Mu'mineen. And this happens with the other Imams as well. We have a riwayat where Imam Ridha does the same in relation to Ma'mun. So Imam Baqir says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, go ahead and ask whatever you want. لِيَسْأَلْنِ Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amma Ahad, the master of the faithful, may ask me concerning whatever he wishes. فَإِنْ عَلِمْتُ أَجَبْتُ If I know the answer, I will give you the response. وَإِنْ لَمْ عَلَمْ قُلْتُ لَا عَدْرِي Imam Baqir says, if I don't know, I will tell you I don't know. وَكَانَ الصِّدْقُ أَوْلَى فَقَالَ هِشَامُ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ اللَّيْلَةِ الَّتِي قُتِلَ فِيهَا عَلِيُّ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ بما استدل به الغائب على المصر الذي قتل فيه على قتله وما العلامة فيه للناس فإن علمت ذلك وأحببت فأخبرني Tell me, O Baqir O Abu Ja'far Tell me what was there a sign that happened at the time of the martyrdom of Imam Ali that enabled other people that were not in the same city as Imam Ali, to know that Imam Ali had passed away, that Imam Ali died. He had heard about some certain things that had happened at that time. He wanted to verify with Imam Baqir as to the truth and what actually happened. وما العلامة في الناس فإن علمت ذلك وأحببت فأخبرني هل كانت تلك العلامة لغير علي في قتله فقال له أبي يا أمير المؤمنين again لما قصد أو أمير المؤمنين إنه لما كانت تلك الليلة التي قتل فيها أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام لم يرفع حجر عن وجه الأرض إلا وجد تحته دم عبيط On that night that Amir al-Mu'mineen passed away, the 21st of the month of Ramadan, no stone was removed, no rock was removed, but that under it there was a dark blood under that rock. حتى طلع الفجر until the dawn of that day. وكذلك كانت الليلة وكذلك كانت الليلة and this has precedence. كذلك كانت الليلة التي قتل فيها هارون أخو موسى. The same thing happened when Harun, the brother of Musa, was killed. وكذلك كانت الليلة التي قتل فيها يوشع بن نون. The same thing happened with يوشع بن نون, the wasi of Moses. وكذلك كانت الليلة التي رفع فيها عيسى بن مريم. The same thing happened when Hazrat Isa was raised to heaven. وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَتَ اللَّيْلَةُ الَّتِي قُتْلَ فِيهَا شَمْعُونُ بْنُ حَمُّونَ الصِّفَارِ The same thing happened with Shamun ibn Hammun, the successor to Hazrat Isa. وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَتَ اللَّيْلَةُ الَّتِي قُتْلَ فِيهَا عَلِيُّ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَتَ اللَّيْلَةُ الَّتِي قُتْلَ فِيهَا الْحُسَيْنُ بْنُ عَلِيٍّ And the same thing happened with Hussein, when Hussein ibn Ali was martyred. قَالَ فَتَرَبَّدَ وَجْهُ هِشَامٍ تَرَبَّدَ تَرَبَّدَ means أي تَغَيَّرَ مِنَ الْغَذَابِ His face all of a sudden showed rage because of saying that this also happened with Hussein ibn Ali, meaning that your relatives, the Bani Umayyah killed Imam Hussein, this happened. So Hisham becomes really, really angry. وَهَمَّ أَيَّبْتَشَ بَأَبِهِ He was getting ready to do something to Imam Baqir, to do something bad to Imam Baqir. فقال له أبي يا أمير المؤمنين الواجب على العبادة طاعة لإمامهم الله أكبر Imam Baqir tells Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik It is incumbent O Amir al-Mu'mineen It is incumbent upon us to carry out the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen And I was only carrying out your orders When I said these things, I was only carrying out your orders. وَإِنَّ الَّذِي دَعَانِي إِلَىٰ أَنْ أَجَبْتُ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي مَا سَأَلَنِي عَنْ مَعْرِفَةِ لَهْ بِمَا يَجِبُ لَهُ عَلَيَّ مِنَ الطَّاعَةِ اللَّهُ فَلْيَحْسُنْ فَلْيُحْسَنْ عِنْدَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَبَّانَ. So anyway, Al-Mubarak explained these things and says this is what happened. So this is something that didn't happen only for Imam Hussein. It happened for Amir al-Mu'mineen. It happened for Hazrat Isa. It happened for other people as well. The answer to this, why this is the case, why these things are said about the Ahlul Bayt, and are these in fact figurative expressions of grief, or this is what actually happened? You have to go back to what I explained about the entire world forming one universal whole, one unity, one entity. The universe, the entire cosmos, the world is a hierarchy of existence, but it is at the same time one unified whole. The spiritual and the material realm are in direct contact. The most down-to-earth, the most down-to-earth testimony or proof of this is what the Murtadin, the ascetics, or what are they called? The Murtadin in India, people who renounce the world and engage in contemplation, and you've all seen the, or you might have seen, the extraordinary things that they can do that is not explicable in terms of physical laws of nature. Okay? Only by strengthening their souls to a very slight degree, they are able to control certain physical phenomena. This is the relation that the spiritual realm has with the material realm. It's through that relation that they are able to do that. Now the Imams, the Awliyaullah, the Khalifatullah, they are, as I explained in the previous slide, the embodiment of the first emanation. They are the incarnation of the Awwal ma khalaq Allah. They are the nexus, the link, because of being the embodiment of that first emanation. They are the link that connect the arcs of descent and the arcs of ascent. In other words, they hold the entire world together. The phrase that we read in Sirat al-Jama'i Kabireh, what is it? Bikum fataha Allah. وَبِكُمْ يَخْتِمُ اللَّهُ وَبِكُمْ يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَبِكُمْ يُثْبِتُ. God started the existence with you, and God ends existence with you. That's why in some riwayat we have that أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ is قِيَامَة. أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ is the قِيَامَة. That's this fact, that they are the beginning and they are the end. بِكُمْ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ وَبِكُمْ يَخْتِمُ اللَّهُ وَبِكُمْ يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَبِكُمْ يُثْبِتُ. The bada that happens in this world, everything that happens in this world goes through them. And you have all heard the riwayat that say that if the Imam does not exist, the entire world falls apart. قلت لأبي عبد الله رواية الإمام الصادق أتبقى الأرض بغير إمام؟ قال لو بقيت الأرض بغير إمام لصاخت. If the world is left without an imam, it would implode. It would fall apart. And the reason for this is because they are that link. They are that nexus connecting the arcs of descent and the arc of ascent. They are the embodiment of that first emanation. And so, whatever happens to their body, which is in contact to their soul, in contact with their soul, is bound to have an effect on the world. When the embodiment, again, go back to what the Murtaz of India do. Are they even comparable to Imam Hussein? They're not even comparable, but they are able to exercise certain extraordinary things. Now Imam Hussein, being the embodiment of that أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ, being the embodiment of all of the names and attributes of God, the most perfect embodiment and incarnation of the names and attributes of God, when he is butchered and slayed the way he was in Karbala, the fact that the world did not implode and fall apart is itself surprising. And the fact that it didn't fall apart was because Imam Sajjad was there and he was saved. So in fact, these riwayat are not in any way figurative. They are not figurative. That's how it actually happened. And the reason is because of the relation. Again, we have to see the world as a unity. It's a unified whole. The Imam is the head, is the manager of this universe. By God's leave, by God's permission, everything is attuned. Everything in the world is attuned to the spirit of the Imam. Everything in the world. So it is only natural that when such a huge calamity happens to the Imam, these extraordinary phenomena would appear. The third question, inshallah, some other time. Time has already passed. Inshallah. On a later trip, inshallah, there is another trip here, inshallah, we might talk about that. Sallallahu alayhi ya Abu Abdullah. Sallallahu alayhi ya Abu Abdullah. Can we have the lights dimmed, please? صلى الله عليك يا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله. Tonight is the night of the 12th of Muharram. It is the night of the 12th of Muharram. And according to some accounts, according to some reports, tonight is the night of the martyrdom of Imam Sajjad. Ya Zain al-Abidin, Ya Ali ibn al-Husayn, يا علي بن الحسين يا مولاي يا سيدي يا مولاي يا سيدي يا مولاي يا سيدي
It is reported that after the tragedy of Karbala, for 20 years, Imam Sajjad, Imam Zainul Abideen, cried in remembrance of his father. Every time he would see some food, every time he would see some water, he would cry, he would shed tears. He was asked by one of the companions, "Oh Sajjad, oh Zainul Abidin, haven't you cried enough? It's been so many years since the slaying, the martyrdom of your father. Why do you still persist in crying?" Imam Sajjad replied, "Haven't you heard the story of Ya'qub in the Quran? He had 12 sons. Only one of the 12 sons he lost. He had 11 sons with him. And that one son that he had lost, he knew that he was alive. Ya'qub knew that Yusuf was alive. Ya'qub knew that Yusuf was only a few days away. But he cried and wept for so many years until he lost his sight. Don't you know that on the day of Karbala, I saw my brother butchered. I saw my uncles butchered. I saw Shem on the chest of my father Hussein, putting the knife to the throat of Hussein. I saw the head of my father raised on spears. I saw the head of my father being lashed by Yazid, his beautiful teeth, his beautiful lips, being struck and lashed by Yazid. How do you expect me not to cry? How do you expect me not to cry? Allah, la'natullah, ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.
يا حسين